What's up, everybody? So today is the 22nd, I believe. It's 2023. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon, and it's your host, The D Is Silent. Let's start this episode off with the movie review. You know, as I build it here. I went to go see The Beekeeper the other day with my mom, my nephew, my nephew's brother, and a friend of mine. And not only seeing the one trailer to The Beekeeper, the one with the Nine Inch Nails music on it. And you know what? I love Jason Statham and his movies. Like, I don't really give a fuck what they are about. I don't know. He kind of reminds me of an old school actor that there aren't too many of them left anymore. Not that Hollywood is changing, but it's kind of like, he reminds me of like the old school, like, you know, like Bruce Willis action movie star. Just you put him in any sort of an action role that has something to do with guns or cars or saving the day, and it's like, yeah, I'm fucking in. And most of the times he's in the movie, it's fucking good. The only one I didn't see was The Expendables 4, which I want to see. I don't know when it's going to come out to streaming, hopefully soon. But The Expendables 4 is the only one I didn't see. But I did see The Meg, I did see Fast and Furious 10, and then I just went to go see Beekeeper. And if you want to just turn your brain off and just watch Beekeeper as an action movie, I give it 2 thumbs up. I give it 2 thumbs way up, even though I'm yawning. I give it 2 thumbs way up. It's a good action movie. It's actually got a good little story to it. Some of the shit in there, yes, it is very action movie-ish, where it's like, nah, that's not fucking, that can't happen. That's not real. The whole premise of The Beekeeper is he's some sort of secret beekeeping agent that clears out whole sectors of the government, of our United States government, if needed to, if he feels the need to, and he's deeply funded and he can get to anybody, including but not limited to the president. And he's kind of all by himself. He lives off the grid, he tends to his bees. He does honey. But the movie, you know, and essentially, well, okay, so essentially he's helping out this elderly lady. He's retired. You find out right away that, like, he's kind of just taken the role of, like, what would be like to me a Clint Eastwood. Like, he didn't really want anything to do with society no more, but there he is, still part of it. And, you know, but he just wants to be left alone, but the world will not see it that way. Anyways, the lady that's taking care of him, some elderly lady, gets scammed out of like millions of dollars. She takes her life and they blame him immediately, but it's not him because the gun there's no gun residue on his hands, and he just was not. Anyways, the daughter of this elderly lady turns out to be like an FBI agent. She comes in, they arrest him, they let him go, she comes to apologize. He finds out that, you know, like, it's some sort of organization that not even the FBI can get close to, and he takes matters into his own hands and he goes and starts fucking up these people, these cyber attack. Now, at about that point, the movie goes from being very serious and you can go to nitty gritty to they let the, I want to say, the eccentricities of the movies pop out. Anything to do with the banking and the scamming people where they were living eccentric lifestyles. And they, like, some of the scenes were a little bit over the top. Back in the olden days, that would have been like a deep Russian hacking corporation that was, you know, dudes in all black suits and cigars smoking in a dimly lit office. Like, I kind of, that's kind of, to me, that's like Die Hard. Like, I don't know if that's one or two, or Lethal Weapon one or two. Like, that's kind of what I would, that's kind of what I think. But I get the times have changed. Most of these tech billionaires are young. Like, they're just young as fuck, and I could imagine them being the way that they are. But I don't know if they were, if there's necessarily an eccentricity about it. More so as it's just like, that's the style. Because I don't really believe that none of these tech billionaires are just out there zenning out in their office. And but I mean, who knows? I could be totally wrong. But other than that, the movie's pretty good, straightforward. It's just straight up action story. He finds out who they are. He starts killing people. All the fighting sequences with him and the gun sequences, he is bar none one of the top in his category in that aspect. Like, I don't really know who comes close to him right now. He's like the top dog in action. Like, you've got people that dabble in it, but they don't, that's not their forte. For instance, like The Rock, he's trying to be an action star, but I don't know. To me, it's not really his forte. You've got like Vin Diesel, but he's mostly in the Fast and Furious franchise. Outside of that, isn't not really that much there. The old heads of old, like Jet Li. Well, actually, Jet Li and Jason Statham did that one movie, The One, but Jet Li has not done much. And then they did The Expendables 1 and 2, 3 together. I don't know which ones. So that was a great reuniting of them. But there hasn't been many action movies. Well, I mean, the new action stars today have been wrapped up in Marvel and DC and comic book movies. And I kind of would love to see Jason get a shot at Marvel. But I don't know if he will. And beyond that, I mean, he's got to be in his 50s now. Maybe he's not 60s. I don't know how many more action movies got left, but he's still good at it. The man looks like he's in incredible shape. And if you could tell anything off the Meg, the man is in incredible shape. The man's got a little bit of flavor of acting, because he can do funny roles, like which was Crank, and you know, there's layers to them, and that's why he stays in Hollywood working these movies. I guess he's a good old reliable, like his body is in tip top shape. You know, Hugh Jackman is kind of an action star, but he's more of Wolverine. But either way, I'm getting off topic here. The movie, you know, that's where Jason Statham shines. You know, all his action sequences, they just shine really well. You know, every death he had was top notch. The only thing I gotta get, you gotta kind of ignore it. This is a big ignore, but like, he straight up walks up to like 10 FBI dudes and fights them on. Now, granted, that's supposed to be part of the mytho of the beekeeper. He walks up to like 10 of them, fights them all, fucks them up, and walks into the building. Like, even though they were looking for him too at that point, like, they were on him. And I just kind of feel like, okay, he dodged. Like, I don't really know. And he was shooting them in their, he didn't kill any of the FBI dudes, but he was shooting them in their bulletproof vests. And I just know, like, something heavy. I mean, I just kind of feel like that's an impossibility. But then again, what do I know? But he gets into the building, and then there's actual people shooting him. He dodges every single bullet. Every time he dodges every single bullet. And I'm like, The man didn't take damage until the last little bit in the movie. which is, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, it all, I mean, overall, it's kind of good. If you can ignore that, and if you can ignore how many times they actually say beekeeper, I would have just much rather preferred them call him Clay throughout the whole movie. That's what was his name. But, it, you know, instead of calling him the beekeeper, you know, like, they said it over and over, and I was like, okay, this is getting a little bit repetitive. But other than that, it was pretty good. I mean, I give it like a solid 7.5 out of 10. Not quite an 8. I mean, he ends up killing the president, Madam President. That's another thing you got to kind of look over. So I kind of thought that this was directly, but I don't know. See, I don't know how Jason Statham perceives himself. He's produced it or directed it a little bit. This is a shot at the American government towards the end. Like let's say Hillary was elected president, which is, he could have picked another white dude. But I guess they had to make they made the president a woman in the movie. And then her son is some uber technological doofus running one of the world's greatest scams. And he decides that one or not, both of them have to go. And that there was nothing going to stop him. And it was just that easy. He beats the Secret Service. And eventually, at the end of the movie, he kills the kid. But leaves the queen bee alone, which is, I guess, fine. But honestly, I don't know if that's a shot at, like, Hillary. Or right now, would be, like, Hunter Biden. Everybody's obsessed with him and how much he spends on hookers, cocaine, and fucking whatever else he does with his computers. I don't know. Every little while I see something about Hunter Biden. Like he has to go fucking testify, and he's on his laptop. And like, well, the president's son, all he does is fuck hookers. Like, I mean, I really don't know, personally. I don't know very many multi-millionaires or billionaires. But they all are fucking, you know, on that Epstein list. They're all fucking hookers and shit. And they're all on drugs. Like, what the fuck does the president's kid have to do with that? As a matter of fact, Donald Trump is on the fucking all kinds of pills himself. Adderall and all kinds of shit. And whatnot. And his two fucking kids, or his two sons, I know they're doped out of their heads. They're coked out of their minds. So, I mean, and I just don't believe that they're not. Like, so, what the fuck? Who cares? Aside from all that, I mean, I said that they were trying to relay in that movie. Like, you're not even the president's kid is untouchable, what have you. But other than that, it was pretty good. I mean, I guess that was the point of it. Like, so I mean, but I mean, like that, I thought overall it was a little bit poorly executed, the message of delivery, because like, there was no interaction between him and the president. The president was like, oh my god, my son is, what now? It's the problem. And then, like, pretending like she didn't know. And I was like, yeah, no. But she was the president's. This was her computer software. I don't know. So, but whatever, like, you know, to me it was like, okay. So I mean, just some nonsense. But overall, it was an enjoyable movie. You took out some of that, and you took out a little bit of the impossibilities of it all. It's a real good movie. I mean, an action movie, anyways. You add in all that together, you get yourself a decent movie. Again, I give it like 2 thumbs up. I wouldn't I wouldn't recommend anybody like, wow, like this is a must-see movie. No. But if you're bored this weekend or next weekend or whatever, and like, oh yeah, I went to the movies, watch The Beekeeper, and like, oh, how was it? I wanted to go see it. Yeah, you know, go on like the Tuesday matinee. To me, it's worth it. It's like, I haven't seen a bad movie in a minute, but I don't really be staying watching like every single movie that comes out. I wanted to watch Mean Girls, but I don't know if I'll go see it. I did watch, and I didn't talk about, you know, background crisp, I did watch Willy Wonka, the new Willy Wonka movie, which I thought that was a good movie. We'll touch on that briefly here. I thought Willy Wonka was a good movie, and I just thought it was good. I didn't think it was the best Willy Wonka. The very old one to me is still where it's at. This one is a little bit more dark and gritty. I think it's better than Johnny Depp's, even though my nephew was like, oh, that's the one I ended up watching. I'm like, okay, I think I watched that one like 2 or 3 times. But this new one apparently is doing numbers, like out there making like $500 million, like, and it only had a budget of 100 million. Like, so obviously it was a huge, massive success. If you spend $120 million on a movie and you make $500 million and you're going to make another 50 to 100 million just on DVD sales or digital purchase sales, and then just, you know, having an, again, Willy Wonka's name back out there in the masses, like, you're probably popping champagne bottles somewhere. Even though I'd had no idea that anybody was watching it over the fucking holiday. Like, I'm just kind of curious, like, who the, because I don't know anybody that else that watched it. I literally know nobody. But I thought it was a cool movie. I thought it was all right. I don't think it was the best movie I've ever seen, but it wasn't by no means bad. Again, I wanted to watch Mean Girls. Didn't get around to it. Actually, I would have been... I just completely forgot it came out. It's what it is. I mean, again, I mean... But The Beekeeper was good. I did see a preview for it. And I was like, I'm kind of vaguely interested in it. And it just so happened my nephew was like, hey, I'm going to go watch that. And I'm like, okay, let's go watch it. Like, we'll watch it. Like, no big deal. And then, you know, then we watched it. No big deal. We had that. Willy Wonka was good. But let me see. I can't think of the last terrible movie that I watched. That was truly awful. Maybe Cocaine Bear was kind of... It was awful. Like, they wanted it to be a movie, and then they were like, fuck it, it's not gonna make us any money if we do it this way. We already wasted $5 million trying to make this fucking thing. That was a bad movie. Like, I don't recommend anybody watching it, because it's fucking... It's a waste of your time. That was one of the last bad movies I've seen. It's not even corny, but fun. It's just corny. The movie's just corny in general. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good on the Cocaine Bear. But beyond that, I mean, yeah. I didn't get around to see Mean Girls, so I don't know about Mean Girls. I don't know if it's good or not. But The Beekeeper was... I thought it was an okay movie. They ignore a little bit of the stuff in there, but not too much. Just a little bit. Again, it's about 7.5 movie for me. It definitely did have a definitive end. I'm like, well, maybe they try to set it up for being like a franchise, depending on how good or how well this does or doesn't do. Which I could definitely see them making a part 2. Like, he could become the hunted beekeeper. And I kind of want to know, like, okay, Jason Statham in charge of the Meg franchise. I think they're going to get a part 3. Hopefully they do. Round out the story. I would like for them to go back into the basics of the Meg and make it a real scary movie with some light parts at the end. Instead of being like lightish the whole way through it, like the second one was, even though the second was pretty good to me. Obviously that's Jason Statham's baby franchise, another one that he made. I would love to see him finish that trilogy off, the third one. And I would, you know, he finished off Transporter. I would love to see him go back, if at all possible, to do Crank. The finality of that, you know, the Expendables was another one of his babies. I think that's done now. The Fast and Furious, he just jumped into, even though it's not his, he jumped into it. I mean, that man's been a part in a couple franchises now, and it's just, maybe he, that's what he's thinking, like, oh, well, these ones are coming to a close. Let me jump into one. You know, maybe he'll go back into another one with Jet Li. Or maybe they'll switch Jet Li out for another version of himself into the multiverse. We don't know. You know, I think that's what he was doing here. I think this is a perfect, if they do the second, if they do a second one and maybe do it better, maybe they can get the third. It really depends on how this one does. I don't know. I don't know what the budget of this one was. There's actually a lot of acting. And, you know, it wasn't too much CGI. It wasn't too much. I don't think it could have cost him more than like $100 million to make. You know. I just don't see it. But we don't, you know, you don't know. What we can see is perhaps them making a part two. I could see that. Like, he could be the hunted, like, you know, now that he was pegged for the murder of the president's son. Maybe now the entire CIA, maybe he'll have to become a domestic terrorist and hide from the law, but somehow he'll overcome that and win back his freedom. You know, I definitely could see that being a possibility. You know, like 2 years from now, 3 years, like, oh, they're gonna make another one of those beekeeper movies. The first one was pretty good. Let's watch the second one. And the second one being like killer, like good. Like sometimes that happens. Like the first one was, it just did well enough, like Iron Man 1, to be like, oh, okay, like, well, you know. And then boom, Iron Man 2 drops and bam, like you got yourself something there. Like, how grand can it go? Like, that's something that I could see happening possibly with Beekeeper. Like, the first one was good, but once they iron out a few wrinkles of it, and maybe the second one is just done, maybe it makes a massive success. Terminator is the same way. Terminator 1 was good, and then the second one was just lights out, like one of the best movies ever made. I mean, something like that could happen, you know. Put Jason back on the map. I would love to see him again. I mean, I'm a fan of his from Transporter days. I think I loved all three or four of them, or five of them. I don't know how many fucking Transporters he made, but I mean, it's always fun to see him in a fucking vehicle. You know, and that's just something that, you know, maybe he'll get, they'll get him a little bit more involved in you know, the Beekeeper, if they make more of it. So I'm gonna pause it there, and then we'll come back, we'll talk something else. I mean, I don't know what you guys feel about football, but my brain is already like over it, kind of. Just the four teams are left. I only got the Lions really to root for, and it's like the possibility of them making the Super Bowl and then possibility of them winning is close to none. So I'm gonna pause it here and I'll come right back. Okay, chat. So I'm back. And after finishing off Goosebumps, let's talk a little bit about Goosebumps and then we'll get into Super Bowl preview. Goosebumps, I think it's on Disney. I just don't know, like, if it came out on Disney because I didn't see it, or if it came out on Sony. And I'm, you know, like barely seen it, but I liked Goosebumps. It was just on the bubble of being truly scary, which is what Goosebumps is, it was just light enough to where I kind of feel like young kids who do like Goosebumps, they could relate to it. Like, it was... Overall, I give the show a 2 thumbs up. I'd probably give it like a 7.5. There was a few episodes there which I think kind of lagged a little bit. But it was just a little bit. Like, maybe like a couple episodes in the middle. But the ending of it was really well. Slappy. Slappy remains the main villain of the series. And I actually like what they did. You know, that he was not really a magical, but they made it seem like he was part of, you know, World War I or World War II, or, and the guy, Kondu, gets bombed into, like a tomb of sorts, but I don't know what war it's supposed to be. I thought it was like World War I. I thought that, because you can see the trenching and all that. So, I'm assuming, you know, like World War I or World War II. You know. I like that Slappy and Kondu had been fucking... They've been fucking with the people for generations now. And essentially, you know, he's trying to... Slappy has a great... reasoning, so to speak. I mean, his... Ultimately, what it comes down to is Slappy or Kondu wants to release all the horrors that are known to man. I guess like werewolves, vampires, zombies, ghosts, things of the nature. Because that would actually unify humans and make them scared of something else. He says, with the monsters not released and people unafraid of things in life, they decided to become their own monster and make wars and obviously like slavery and things like that. I mean, his justification was actually spot on. Especially when he told him, I mean, you know, they're right in stopping him, because I kind of feel like who knows what he unleashes, and the fact that they didn't want him to unleash anything spoke volumes. But he's absolutely right. I mean, if you go back to like World War I, any of the wars, like it's truly diabolical what man does to man itself. Like there's horrors beyond horrors in this world to speak of, and you don't even have to have like some super monster, or you don't even have to get very imaginative. You can just go to real world places that exist now, like Gaza and the Gaza Strip and all that. What's going on over there with these rallies and Palestinians, and people are up in arms about it, but it's whatever's. And you could look no further than the Russian-Ukraine conflict, which I don't know. I haven't heard any updates on it. But you could look at literally any other part of the world and see, you know, you look at our neighbors in Mexico. Not that I think that the cartels are such a big problem, but obviously every so often I see a cartel video and they're doing the most unspeakable things known to man to another person, you know, beheading them and things of the nature. It's truly diabolical thing, the things that man does to other men, and you don't have to really look too far to see it. So he's right. I mean, he's absolutely right. And I kind of felt that, yeah, he probably should have released all the monsters. Ultimately, they stop him. Slappy gets resurrected with Biddle and his peoples. Well, Biddle, actually, his story ends. You know. And then Khaundu was trying to bring about what he had planned, and he just was unable to. But they continue the story, and essentially, it looks like there's going to be a season 2 of Goosebumps. Looks like it. Don't know if there will be. I don't really know what if it's a Disney Plus exclusive, but overall, it's pretty good. I give it like a 7, 7.5 out of 10. There is some things that are just a little bit like nitpicking again, like. Okay, what stops it from being a perfect, like, 10? First and foremost, I only watched Goosebumps because I read Goosebumps, and I watched the old Goosebumps shows back in the day. I think, I don't know what they're on. The one where they made the kid, like, they multiplied him, and he was stuck in the, like, time loop, but then his random time loop people escaped. And then when they hit him in the head, he turned to jelly. That was kind of... That was a cool concept. But then when they defeated him, it was just like green goo. Like... Again, that was kind of like... G-rated violence. I thought that was kind of... could have done something better with that. Some of the things... Some of the dialogue between, like, the characters were just a little bit, to me, like, tailored to, like, junior high school kids. But, I mean, that's what the show is supposed to be geared for, junior high school kids. You know, whatever. Some of the graphic, some of the CGI was... Again, was not really good. Like, the worm thing was, like, probably the coolest thing I saw in there. The kid exploding was kind of whack. And some other things were kind of... They had a random... I don't know why they involved that, but they had the guy on his, like, dirt bike, like, randomly zooming through the fucking factory. I thought that was kind of... I didn't really feel that needed to be there. But they just added it in anyways. There was just some stuff. Then he jumped off. Like, how did he get his dirt bike up to the top of the roof of the school in the first place? Like, how did that happen? Nobody knows. They kind of do things like that. The little breakup they had at the end, I thought that was kind of... that was kind of corny. I think it was a little shoehorned in there, so there could be a little bit of drama. Yeah, there's just like some things, just like yeah, there's just some things in there. I think it was just really tailored to a young crowd, and that keeps it probably like a point or two off. So you take it from a 10 to like an 8, and then just like again, just some of the. Show lagged a little bit. Like there was just bits and pieces in the middle when they're just like they kind of just like the dirt bike scene was like it was okay, didn't really need to be there. Again, the exploding kid was like why did he turn to green goo? I guess because Goosebumps was green. I did like when they went back in time and they showed her like Slappy's origin. That was kind of cool. That when the guy was like fucking around with the casket, he opens it up and then Khaundu comes out and he looks like the worst zombie I've ever seen or mummy I've ever seen. But I mean, his character overall was dope as hell. Just that, I mean, just some things were just kind of clunky. But other than that, it was okay. I give it a thumbs up. I mean, if you like Goosebumps or you just want to watch a sort of semi-scary, I think this is kind of, but I think it too, Goosebumps was greenlit because of how well Wednesday did. And they thought, maybe we're going to get even a piece of that, you know, that action. Maybe we'll get, you know, instead of 20 or 30 million, maybe we'll get several. I think that's what they were going for. I think they achieved that. I liked it. I thought overall it was pretty good. They had a great cast. The main guy, I think it's not Toothless, but the dude from How to Train Your Dragon. He's a funny guy, but he kind of does well as being half funny, half scary. He does have a really good, like, demented attribute to him. If you pay attention closely, like, some of the things in there when he's, like, not totally himself. And I'm like, you know, I could see him being a dark villain. Like, it didn't come off as he couldn't do it. It came off as, like, yo, somebody made the right decision in casting him in that role. It's what it is. But yeah, I give Goosebumps probably 2 thumbs up. Not maybe like a thumb and a half up. It's not quite like go see, you must watch it. But I think if you stumble across it, I say yeah, watch it. It was decent. It wasn't bad at all. Actually, the ending of it, the last like 3 episodes were really good. They were very good actually. It ended well. It ended very well. It definitely had a conclusion to the story. It definitely had all the justification. It had everything you needed. Because even I'm in agreement with Condi. Like, yeah, he should have lit the pyre on fire and released the horrors onto the world, the monsters. Because he's right. When you sit down and think about it, when he tells, like, he didn't mean to. Doesn't mean to kill everybody. He just wanted to put monsters out there so people stopped killing other people, and that they were fearful of something else and not of each other. He's absolutely right, because again, I go back to he only stumbled across that because of war, and I mean World War One, World War Two. You know, is just what it is. And I've seen firsthand. I mean, September 11th is probably my thing that I always kind of remember. Regardless of whether it was an inside job or not, whether the United States government knew some shit, I don't want to get too much into conspiracy. Nonetheless, I watched two planes strike towers. I watched them crumble, and I don't know how many people died in there. Like, they say a couple thousand, 3,000. I never seen no shit like that since. You know, it's kind of crazy. And then we went on a 20-year war. So, you take that for what it's worth. But, I mean, again, like, Condu was right. He was very right. He's right in all the senses that matter. Like, you know, he should have unleashed the monsters into the world, and they actually thought about it for a second, and that's why he was right, because he's absolutely right. The kids just don't know it yet, but he was absolutely right. Slappy was absolutely right. It was one of the best justifications I've seen in a minute. Thanos was right. I mean, Slappy was right as well. Some. Like the villain in Fast and Furious, yes, he had reasoning, but I mean, it was kind of not reasoning. I mean, his dad was a criminal anyways, and then whatever. But post that, I mean, let's give a little bit of Super Bowl rundown. 49ers versus the Chiefs, a rematch from a couple years ago in Vegas. Once again, I think the Super Bowl, I think the NFL really blew it. again. And when I mean they blew it, we could have had the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions playing in what I feel would be one of the a classic, because it's two teams. This is something that the MLB has figured out, that the NFL hasn't figured out for some reason. MLB, even though their ratings are going down, they do have some of the most interesting World Series, because it's teams that haven't been, it's teams that are good, are in the playoffs, but then they get beat. You just don't know which team has the lucky hand and goes. The NFL is a little bit more, you know, I mean, everybody complains about it, but I mean, we're watching anyways. And I don't know how much of the Super Bowl I'm going to watch. Because I mean, it, like, aside from what they were saying was a script, you don't get a rematch unless that's something that the NFL wants. How, I mean, how does a rematch happen? It just doesn't. And I just kind of feel like, again, like, this Super Bowl, this the era of sports in this NFL that we live in now, is kind of dumb, because it's, again, it's the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And I actually don't have a problem with the Chiefs. Again, they're in my division. But I don't really care for the Chiefs. Like, to me, when I think of the Chiefs, I just think of, like, it's the Chiefs. Like, so what? They could win several Super Bowls. To me, I don't see Chiefs outside of them being on TV. It's not like the Chargers, where I have to see them people every day, like all day. And when they win a game, they're fucking pounding their chest like, and they won the Super Bowl. It's different. But it, again, as the Chiefs again, like the NFL has no fucking, they have no fucking imagination. Like, oh, they could have had Buffalo. They could have had the Ravens. They could have had a slew of other teams go to the Super Bowl. And believe it or not, I mean, whatever you have, the refs do play a big role, and I just kind of feel like they cater to the Chiefs, as they cater to a lot of teams that they're trying to push forward. The 49ers, you know, the 49ers put in work, but then it's just like, that's like, again, like the 49ers in the Super Bowl again. Like, how many times is it gonna make it? Like, and you know, like, can they just figure out a new team? Like, anybody else? Like, it's terrible. It's really terrible. Like, and I just don't know if, like, the NFL fans see it. They're like, yeah, this is, NFL is like, yeah, this is gonna do numbers. And I'm like, yeah, it's the same fucking teams over and over. Like, it's boring. The people get bored of it. Like, I was bored of the Patriots winning every fucking year. Like, and the refs kissing their ass. Like, it was old. It gets old. But yeah, it's 49ers versus Chiefs. I mean, I give the upper hand to the 49ers. Because I don't really feel that the Chiefs are that really good. Especially since the Raiders beat them, and I just kind of feel, you know, the Ravens loss is absolutely, should go down in one of the biggest choke jobs in history. Outside of one lucky pass, the game should have been 17-3 or whatever it was. Like, essentially they got shut out. They got blanked. And I thought it was going to be the other way around. But it's whatever. It's because I haven't seen that's one of the biggest chokes I've seen in a minute. It's different than Dallas, because Dallas, people already expect the choke, and it's just funny to jump on when they're starting to lose. The Eagles had flamed out well before the playoffs even started. And I don't know who else. choked like that. I don't think, maybe the Browns a little bit. You know, I just kind of feel that they just, the Cowboys and the Eagles were kind of expected to flame out. But the Ravens were expected to win this whole fucking thing. And they had the best record. They had every tool imaginable. And to just get work like that, you know, just shows you that that team just, they just choked bad. They choked bad. As a matter of fact, so bad that, you know, if I was in the staff of the Ravens, somebody needs to go. They need to be cut, and they need to be fired, like, today. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. You know, today's Monday and following this, all this. But they should be. I don't know if it's Harbaugh, because the game plan was absolutely trash. The players, absolutely uninspired. Lamar out there, he looked very pedestrian. Looked very game managerish. Like, they were like, don't lose this game. Don't throw a pick. Don't do this. Don't do that. And he literally did all of that. And it looked like he couldn't function as a quarterback. And that, you know, on the Kansas City side, like, he tipped their cap. But I just, again, once again, I was tweeting this yesterday. The Raiders mollywhopped the fuck out of the Chiefs. And did nobody fucking study the film of what they did? You fucking get after Patrick Mahomes and you cover the fucking people. Like, literally, that's, and the fucking Raiders just ran the fucking ball on them. Just run the fucking ball on them. Hammer them, fools. Like, it don't really require much more than that. Like, what the fuck? They did not fix that. Yeah, true. The Raiders did not complete a pass in the second half. Aiden O'Connell only completed like 8 passes. Or 9 passes, whatever it was. We got 2 gimme touchdowns on turnovers. And then that's exactly how you play it. If we had a more capable offense, we would have scored a couple more drives. But we would have nonetheless sicked the dogs on them fools defensively. And that's what I'm, like, wondering, scratching my head. Doesn't the Ravens have defense? Couldn't they do what the Raiders have done? You spy Mahomes. You put the people in coverage. I don't know what kind of bullshit they were running over there, but you get after Mahomes. I mean, to me, it just does not make any sense what their game plan was, and I'm at a loss. Like, I thought that team was much more capable, and they looked rather fucking... They got whipped. I mean, the game was never nowhere near particularly close at any point in time. The Chiefs did anything they wanted to do offensively. Even though they didn't score in the second half, they just literally just did not let the Ravens score either. And the Ravens scored a field goal. That's it. Like, the game was over. It was just over from the jump. Like, now I could see it. You can see... you could see it. The game was just over. And I think, I mean, I don't know. I think Harbaugh, if it was me, Harbaugh would be gone. Like, you know what? He blew it. Like, do you really think they're going to get the number one seed over again? No. Lamar Jackson, for as much as he's great, he looked rather pedestrian when the team needed him. I don't know. They don't have a run game. I just don't know. Like, I mean, they just look bad. But yeah, I haven't seen a bigger choke job like that in a minute. It's been a minute since a team that truly was supposed to win everything just lost like that. You know, it's crazy to me. But with that said, I kind of got the upper hand slowly being the 49ers, but I don't know because the Taylor Swift effect. I think the NFL is salivating at the chomp to have Taylor Swift be down in the confetti. This might be the Chiefs thing. But again, the Super Bowl, how good is the Super Bowl? It's not. This is the most uncreative Super Bowl. Again, this is probably one of the most uncreative Super Bowls in the fucking a long time. This is dumb as hell. Yeah, I can't believe the NFL thinks that this is going to be, this is the one to do numbers. They politic their way to get there. Whatevers. Anyways, I'm going to get this posted up, guys. I'm getting to work here. And we'll get on to some other topics shortly. Laters.